The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth in the studio. A good day to look forward to as well with the start of the King George meeting at Ascot. We also have Thurscon New Toxeter on Friday afternoon. And in the evening, Newmarket, York and Lingfield. So plenty of top class racecourses in action on Friday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Mark. Very good indeed.
Good. Good day of racing coming up on Friday.
It is decent, yeah, very good on Friday. Excellent on Saturday.
Yes.
And even, you know, for a change, half decent on Sunday as well, because Ascot have got a good card there, and they've put the best race on as the last race, which is something I particularly enjoy.
Keep the punters in, that's the idea.
Exactly.
Good stuff to look forward to. The big race of the weekend is the King George, Stephen. The King George the Sixth and Queen Elizabeth Stakes. And the decks are out, so we know who's going to run. Mm. And the market looks like this, currently on the website. Telescope is 9-4 favourite, a clear favourite again today. Tagruder now 5-2. Eagle Top 11-2 with Magician. Flintshire 12-1 with Macadram. 14s for Trading Leather, 20s for Romsdal. And 150-1 if you think Latia Moore's going to surprise everyone. Telescope then now clear favourite again. So Tagruder nudged out a little bit. What do you make of the King George?
Well, it's a great race for a start. And it's one of my favourite flat races of the year. Always has been since I was a kid. I think first remember watching Swain winning back-to-back in 97-98. It was two fantastic races. And when Delamy won it as well in 99. And there's a bit in the Racing Post on Thursday about Delamy as well. And interestingly enough, I didn't realise that both Cy Binsraw and Frankie Dettori list him as one of their favourite horses of all time, Delamy as well.
So everyone loves a grey horse.
Everyone does love a galloping grey. Always popular, Mark, always. Especially when they're very good, like he was. Yeah. Seven-time Group 1 winner. I remember, as a lad, the only time I ever backed him was when he got beaten in the Arc by Monjour. But looking back,
Monjour wasn't bad, was he?
Yeah, fair enough, really, isn't it? Who obviously then won the King George himself in 2000, without even coming off the bridle. And then we had that fantastic battle between Galileo and Fantastic Light in 2001. So it's like a five-year period there at the turn of the century, which was brilliant. And we've had some great performances in recent years as well, the likes of Dane Dream getting up in that driving finish, and obviously Novelist last year breaking the track record, and Harbinger, who carried the same colours as Telescope. And obviously, Telescope has always been well touted since he was a two-year-old, missed the Derby, etc. And this year looks as though he may well be just fulfilling his potential. At the time, his second to Noble Mission at Chester was written off as a disappointment, but actually not turned out too badly. Noble Mission since then winning a Group 1 and just being done in a photo for a Group 1 in France. And he's likely to line up in a Group 1 in Germany on Sunday as well, so he should probably win that in theory. But for some reason, I just still can't take to him. It's going to sound strange. I want to see him do it first, which is a bizarre thing to say when he won the Hardwick by about 10 lengths and absolutely bolted up. But he beat Hillstar, who is a solid Group 2/Group 3 horse. And if he repeats that performance, he will obviously be there involved. But I just still think that there's something better than him out there. I don't think he's this all-conquering superstar.
Yeah. The problem I have with Telescope is the fact that he's had such a big reputation and yet to win a Group 1.
Yeah, I know. There was only a limited chance. If I'm thinking, has he run in a Group 1 before?
Probably not, to be fair.
No, obviously he won the Group 2, which was the Hardwick. He won the Great Voltager as well. And obviously Sir Michael, brilliant at bringing them along into their older race. And he's got a very good record with older horses in the race anyway. So there are lots of positives about Telescope, but for me, there's just something niggling at the back of my mind that tells me that he's going to get beaten on Saturday.
Okay, who do you think will beat him then?
Who do I think and who do I want? Two different questions.
Yeah.
Who do I want? Tagruder.
Okay.
Who do I think? I'm not really sure, to be honest, which is not really, I know, the answer you're looking for. I love Tegruder. Really, I do love Tegruder. Probably at the moment, you know, she's in the top three of my favourite horses on the flat. I love the way she won the Oaks. I love See the Stars as well, obviously her sire. And his record with fillies, he's very, very good indeed. John Gosden, obviously, initially was going to go for the Irish Oaks, and I think under the direction of the owner, switched her to this race. And I'd just love her to win. It'd be a great story. 3-year-old filly won the Oaks, coming on beating the older horses. I mean, no fillies have won the King George for nearly 40 years as well. I think Poor Knees was probably the last one in the mid-70s. And so all round, great story, and I like her a lot. So I would like that to be the end result.
Yeah. And it would give us another superstar, wouldn't it? To have a 3-year-old filly win the King George on only a fourth start, then you get excited then.
Yeah, exactly, you do. I mean, the likelihood is that she's not going to race on next year, unfortunately. So can make the most of her, basically. Mm. They're just not the disappointment, but the... it is disappointing in terms of the likelihood of her and Australia clashing before the end of the year. It is slim, I would say.
Yeah.
Because... Tegruder's stamina, well, pedigree's a lot of stamina in it, where although there is obviously stamina in Australia's pedigree, and he's won over a mile and a half, he looks as though he's going to be better over 10. Of the opposition, Trading Leather's a very good, solid horse, and I do like Trading Leather. He tries his best, and you know, he's a Group 1 winner. He ran well, I thought, in the Eclipse, and I think he'll be better going back up in Trip, and I'm glad they're running lighter, more to pacemake as well, because that will help him. Mukadram, I'm worried about whether he'll stay the Trip, Mukadram. I think he'll be there battling, turning in for home, but I can just, in the last sort of furlong, just sort of slightly weakening out of it and finishing about fourth. I'm quite intrigued by Flincher back on fast ground, because it's what he wants, which is why they've run him over here already this season. He was obviously behind Sinister Zagel in the Coronation Cup. It wasn't a bad run, but, I mean, a horse doesn't like Epsom. It's not really... great surprise, and he'd be more suited by Ascot. And so I think he might run well at a decent price, Flincher.
Okay.
Personally. So, yeah, who's going to actually win is a tough question. I don't... I want Tegruder to win.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it at that.
Because we're not going to get any closer than that, so...
Okay. Anything else that you wanted to get off your chest before we move on to...
I'll mention Eagle Top and Romsdale, obviously, are the Gosden runners. There's concern about the ground for Eagle Top and whether he's actually going to run. And if they're concerned about it, then I'm concerned about it. And I'm still not convinced he's going to be quite good enough either, personally, to win. Romsdale, a very likeable horse, sort of just does what he, you know, goes about his business without being flashy. But again, I think it might be a little bit much for him. But obviously, if he wins this and he's got the ledger on his radar as well, could turn out to be, a nice run out before the ledger.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on. Let's go to Friday's action. A really good day to look forward to for a midweek day or a back end of the week day.
Yep.
with some top class race courses hosting fixtures. So we'll get Stephen's thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, it's on to Friday then. Stephen's picked out three races for us, starting in the 3:55 at Ascot. This is the Valiant Stakes, a filly's listed race, over a mile for three-year-olds and older. We have seven of them in the lineup, so probably dashed any each-way angles into the race. But who do you think will win, Stephen?
Well, firstly, just to say, sometimes fillies listed races can be really weak. And I'm going to talk about one in a moment at York's, actually fancy one. But that's a weak example. This one at Ascot is a very strong example of a fillies listed race. Because of Euro Charlene, Kayoshi, Zariga and Gifted Girl, four very good fillies who, if just one of them was running, would be favourite.
Yeah.
Euro Charlene's going to be favourite for Marco Botti and Andrea Razzini. Second in the Nell Gwyn, fifth in the 1,000 Guineas and third in the Coronation. All very good, solid group form. Obviously down in grade here for her, and it's a good opening, I think, to get her head back in front for Marco Botti and Andrea Razzini. And I actually think of these four horses I mentioned, she's the best of them as well. So keeping it simple, she's the best horse in an easier race, and thus she should win. The opposition, I'm not overly keen on Zariga. In fairness, her last two runs in listed company were victories at Newmarket at the end of last year and at Kempton at the start of this year. That race at Kempton was an example of a weak filly's listed race, and she's been well beaten in two Group 3 races since then. Most recently at Epsom behind Thistlebird, and she's conceding weight because she's got a penalty as well. So that's going to be hard, I think, to try and give £12 to Euro Charlene and Kayoshi. It is a very, very difficult task indeed. So I'm happy enough swerving her. Gifted Girl is a course and distance winner. Progressed last year to finish runner-up in a grade one in America.
Yeah.
I think it was the Beverly D Stakes at Arlington. Not come back, though, this season on two of her three runs. Her first run behind Iso Tariq and Integral obviously was very good at Newmarket in the Dahlia Stakes, but her two runs since then have been disappointing. I mean, she was last behind Integral at Royal Ascot, and that worries me. But if she can bounce back, I think she may well hit the frame. Whilst Kayoshi got some very strong claims on her form last year, including her Albany win, but she's obviously a bit of a fruitcake, and she's been well beaten on both her runs this year. She was well down the field behind Euro Charlene in the Coronation first time up, which you could forgive if she'd ran better in her last run in the Falmouth at Newmarket, where she was sixth. I mean, the ground probably didn't help her, and it was a Group 1, and obviously it's a drop in grade. So I'd expect it to go closer, Kayoshi, but I, before I back her or select her, I want to just see that, you know, that ability from last year is still there, because on a two run so far it's been hard to gauge. And Jamie Spencer, obviously a top class jockey, but for me he's not been riding at the top of his game, not just in the last couple of weeks, for the last couple of months, I think. And I'm just wondering maybe if he's, you know, maybe his confidence is not high. You know, I mean, he's got one or two races where he didn't win and he probably should have won. So I'd like to see Jamie start, you know, maybe just being a bit more positive and riding some winners as well. And that will help him. And obviously it all sort of starts rolling then, doesn't it? So Euro Charlene, the winner for me.
Okay, Euro Charlene. Then,
over Gifted Girl, they're the one too.
Yeah. I backed Kayoshi last time.
Yeah.
And about two, maybe a furlong out, looked like she was coming to put up a real big challenge. And I thought, oh, here we go. And then she just faded so terribly. Yeah. I don't know I think it probably was the ground.
Yeah, because obviously it was pretty soft. Yeah. I'll say pretty soft. That had a lot of rain at Newmarket. So, I know. And obviously that ties in with Integral and everything else, with Gifted Girl and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I do think there's still something there. And if this was one of those weaker fillies listed races that I referred to earlier, I think she'd have a very good chance. As I said before, any of the four that I mentioned just were running on their own, they'd be favourite to win.
Okay. On to the 7:30 at York next. And we're staying in listed company for fillies. This is the Lyric Stakes. And this is over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Eight of them in the lineup here. And can we start with Regarde?
Well, we can, yes. Yeah. Just to say, you say eight of them there, Al-Bashar is not going to run.
Right, okay.
So
down to seven.
So I believe we're down to seven, yes, according to the information I have in front of me. Okay. And basically, it is a two-horse race. Mm. This is one of the examples of not, you know, two very good fillies and the rest are not up to a great deal for me. Tassaday for Sybin's Roar and Kieran Fallon. A dual Group 3 and a Group 2 winner in France last year when trained by André Fabre. Won a listed race at Maidan earlier in the year as well. And was well out of her depth behind Just Away in the Dubai Duty Free. Mm-hmm. Obviously still rated as the best performance in the world that we've seen this year, Just Away. Obviously a very strong race. Coming back from a break, down in grade, back against her own sex.
Yep.
All bodes well, I think, for a good performance. On ratings, by far and away the best horse in the race. £9 clear of Regarde. Obviously, you know, when you come down to the weights and figures, if you are, you know, a follower of those, she is conceding £10 to Regarde, and that brings them almost level on official ratings, really. And Regarde is a really nice filly. She's got a pedigree that suggests she's going to get better as she gets older, which she has been doing, improving with every run, minus the Oaks, which I think you can easily forgive. Mm-hmm. Good third in the Musidora at this venue, and then bolted up at Newcastle last time where she beat Regal Hawk, who's in the lineup as well, but beat Regal Horse by six lengths that day. And basically, basing that she's had the run and was very impressive in winning last time and is still improving and is receiving weight from Tazaday, who's yet to run, well, who's been off for 4 months, she's going to be the selection.
Yeah.
Two horse race for me, and Regarde is the one who'll come out on top.
Yeah, I was looking at Regarde, and obviously the third in the Musidora over this trip was pretty good. I don't think she stayed in the Oaks.
No, that I would say a combination of maybe that and that she's probably not quite up to that level at the moment,
yeah,
but in time.
And then when returned to this trip, 10 furlongs, interlisted company against her own sex, she ran well, didn't she, at Newcastle? So
I wouldn't be surprised if she wins this well, if we see her back here for the Yorkshire Oaks again, trying a mile and a half at the end of August.
Yeah. So maybe so, yeah.
Because obviously the Nassau's only a week. It's a group one for fillies and mares over 10, but to beat much in a week. But... but yeah, long term, something like that anyway. Maybe the fillies and mares race at Ascot Champions Day, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Regarde. In the 7:30 at York and the 8:10 at Newmarket is where we'll finish. This is a Class 3 handicap for 3-year-olds and older over a mile and a half. And let's start here with Connecticut, Stephen, who's arriving here chasing the hat-trick. Only the three starts for the Luca Kamani runner. And I suppose it's a cliche, but open to any amount of improvement.
He is, and I think he was valued for a lot more than his two winning distances suggest of three quarters and of a length and a head on his two winning runs recently. And I think the step up in trip is going to be perfect for him, and he's very much the one to beat. I agree. He won at York last time out over 10, goes up to a mile and a half. And those wins, as I say, they weren't by very far, but he was always doing enough, and it quite obviously was the best horse in those races. And he's going to be short, but I think probably you know, deserves to be really.
Yeah. The thing about it is the fact that he's only doing enough to win.
Yeah.
He's
so the handicapper can't get a hold on how good he is. I mean, you know, if he'd have won his last race by 3 lengths, it'd have gone up £10.
Yeah.
The opposition, though, is quite good when you start to weed through it, especially the bottom half of the weights. The top four, Buckland, Linguini, Boutalesi and the Cornish Cowboy, all no, because they're older, exposed horses who, you know, could do with a combination of maybe a bit of help from the handicapper and are just vulnerable to younger horses. And obviously the Cornish Cowboy won a string of races in a row, but obviously now he's weighing above the handicap mark that he's competitive off. We get to Miss Call number 5 for Martin Mead and Ryan Moore. She's a very consistent filly. She was second at Chester last time out, but the winner got first run that day. And at Chester, it's almost impossible to try and win if you've been caught out by something kicking on. And I think with Ryan Moore on as well, a very, very good booking. The trip's fine. And I think she's going to run another very good race, Miss Call. Zimbama showed career best form this year. He's found some improvement from almost nowhere to win two and finish second twice from just four starts. But he did look to me at Chester 2 weeks ago as though that improvement may have just plateaued and he's found his level, or maybe just a smidgen higher than what he can be winning off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Warrior of Light, and I'm amazed at myself that I'm going to do this, Mark, but I'm going to tip this David Lanigan trained horse, because the Lanigan yard is not a yard that I can ever get a hold on. They have lots of very nice expensive horses who for me generally underachieve, and I just can't seem to work them out. However, I mean, he's only a small sample, but he's only had four runners in the last fortnight. Two of them has won and the other one finished second. So and what I liked about Warrior of Light was fifth to Elite Army, which was a good run at Sandown, and then was second at Goodwood as well. And they were two good runs at a time when the yard was struggling for winners. So I'm thinking maybe now they are in form. If he can improve again, he may well be able to give Connecticut a bit of a fight. Solely at prices, really, to be honest. You know, if there were 5 to 6 each of two, I'd be all over Connecticut. But when there's going to be quite a disparity between them, I'll tip Warrior of Light and hope that he can, if not finish second to Connecticut, beat him.
Okay. Warrior of Light, then, the selection each way, if you can get each way odds.
Oh, yeah, if you can. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's have a quick summary, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your three selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, I'm going to go in the Valiant Stakes at Ascot 3:55 with Euro Charlene. Some good classic form, but she's down in grade and she's run well at Ascot before, which I like. The 7:30 at York for me is a two-horse race, and I'm going to side with Regarde, the younger horse who's had a more recent run over Tassaday. And in the 8:10 at Newmarket, again, Connecticut, a good, solid favourite, really, but Warrior of Light from a yard that I think have turned the corner and will, at a better price, I think, give give you a good run for your money should Connecticut underperform.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Ascot, Thirsk and Uttoxeter on Friday afternoon, Newmarket, York and Lingfield in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.